If a truck does not haul the commodity that qualifies for flat fees, no flat fees are due for that month. However, if the truck hauls any commodity that does not qualify for a flat fee option, mileage taxes are due for those miles of travel on a round-trip basis in addition to the flat fee for that month. So it's a process of trying to make sure that it's as easy as it can be. If you just do flat fee, if you do commodities outside the flat fee area, then it becomes more complex and part of the weight mile system. In 1987, the legislature was concerned that rather than being a convenience, the fees were in some instances simply a reduced level of taxation. The legislature created a task force at that time, and the task force made several recommendations, including conducting a fee with the information that was available every 2 years. The purpose of the study of those, that study and review of the fee was to identify tax rates that would reconnect the flat fee system with the mileage-based system. In past studies, 1980 through 1994, the motor carriers reporting on the flat fee basis were asked to respond to a survey intended to calculate a percentage of off-road miles, i.e. those miles that are done on private roads and not on the public road, which is the purpose of the fee being paid to pay for their use of the public roads. Those studies were based on the total miles that were being reported in the highway use statistics. After reviewing the results of the 1996 data, it was determined that survey responses for the carriers were inconsistent with the flat fee report data. The point of this is that there are several areas of complexity in terms of how the truckers themselves report their miles. They have difficulty tracking. They're given through the flat fee process an opportunity to not keep as significant a record as they would under weight mile. But what we're trying to do is give them an opportunity to be easier in the process and yet record some of their information so we can make decisions about whether they're being equitable with the mileage-based approaches. The methodology of reducing the tax summary total miles by the summary percentage of off-road miles in studies conducted prior to 1996 results in an underestimate of weight mile tax that the carriers would have paid, and thus also underestimates the loss of to the highway fund. The methodology of strictly using the data from the tax reports to compare flat fees to weight mile tax paid on those miles results in an overestimate of weight mile tax the carriers would have paid, and thus also overestimates the loss of the highway fund. What it comes down to is that if they don't keep a good track of the difference between total miles and off public road miles and just submit information that says if the miles we drove thinking that they're about the same between public road miles and private road miles, and it makes the basic information used in any study inaccurate and difficult to make assumptions upon. It's important that the legislature recognize the nature of the information that it receives through the flat fee report. The flat fee report is properly described as containing raw numbers subject to further review and adjustment by the legislature. As the recent reports expressly acknowledge, the data used overestimates the total taxable miles traveled by flat fee taxpayers because it relies on the carrier's tax reports, which are known to be inaccurate in that respect. As a result, the raw data in the report similarly overestimates any underpayment by flat fee taxpayers. In order to determine whether any adjustment in the flat fee rates is necessary, and if so, how much, the legislature has to exercise its judgment to make an appropriate adjustment to the raw numbers used in the flat fee studies. The studies are offered as a starting point for consideration by the legislature. The department suggests the legislature is not bound to act immediately upon the conclusion of a flat fee study, and it seems reasonable for the legislature to withhold a tax rate adjustment as it sees fit in order to trend the data over a sufficient amount of time to ensure that rate changes are actually appropriate in order to achieve revenue neutrality. The reports reflect an estimation and are subject to the changing conditions of the marketplace over time. In fact, the markedly divergent recent flat fee report conclusions pertaining to wood chip haulers, one of the three areas involved, make it manifestly clear that the legislature would not have done well to immediately react to an earlier report of underpayment when the subsequent study found evidence of overpayment. It may very well be the case that the inherent limitations of the flat fee study methodology combined with the constraints surrounding receipt of accurate data from the flat fee motor carriers creates a circumstance in which the legislature concludes that there is no significant discrepancy between tax receipts from each group of flat fee payers and those groups that would have paid on a mileage basis. That is, the legislature may conclude the current rates achieve revenue neutrality. In summary, we will continue to work with the industry on improving the report process, as both in terms of what they report and in terms of how we survey their information. There are inherent limitations in both the flat fee study methodology and the accuracy of self-reported data from the flat fee carriers. The legislature can conclude that there is no significant discrepancy between the flat fee amounts and their equivalent mileage tax rates. Mr. Chair, I'm open to questions.
Thank you. Mr. Marsh, your last statement, and I think it's suggested in your earlier testimony, that the legislature can conclude there's no significant discrepancy between the current flat fee amounts and their equivalent mileage tax rates. Could you also say that the legislature can conclude that it doesn't have enough information based on the flat fee study that we have before us that was presented this session to make a conclusive determination that we need to do one or the other, but that we need to look at a more longitudinal approach to how these are trending, and then maybe also considering working with ODOT adapting its survey process to garner better information on which to make that determination?
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, yes. I think two things in response to your question. First, the longitudinal nature of the question. Considering the movement of the industry and the fact that the last couple surveys have been significantly different, I think it's helpful to make sure that we have a sound form process as well as a sound survey process, and that we have trending over a period of time rather than reacting immediately to ups and downs that really are probably not indicative of the actual situation on the ground. So doing, as you say, of working with the industry over these next 2 years to come back with a study that shows hopefully the trend and then respond back with adjustment, if adjustment is shown, next session would be appropriate.
Just to follow up on that, are you confident that we get down the road and the communication between the department and the flat fee payers, you can do an accurate and get an accurate number and an accurate flat fee study?
Mr. Chair, I think the inherent nature of the situation of flat fee makes it difficult to say we will get an accurate report. The concept of flat fee is that truckers are held to a different standard when they're on the flat fee than when they are on weight mile. So we will definitely, I mean, the answer to your question is yes, we will work closely with industry. The difficulty is, as long as you have flat fee, and the concept is to make it easier, we need to work with the industry to make sure that we're educating those folks who use the flat fee option, that there are administrative rules about the basic reports they need to retain, and hopefully get their concurrence that they will retain those reports, and that the reporting process that they send in to us is as simple as possible, and then we can make analogies and recommendations on the basis of that. The hard part is, flat fee concept is make for less reporting. So as long as we can get basic reporting done, I think the answer is yes, and we'll work with the industry to do that.
Thank you. Maybe then not an accurate report in the sense of dead on target, but more accurate, and then taking into account the information that we have already received over again, looking at that longitudinal aspect, at least a basis of information that would give the legislature a greater sense of where we stand in order to make the adjustments that may be required.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly. And in the past, there have been discussions between industry and us about what the expectation was for the following period in terms of both reports, education, and surveying. And I think sometimes transitions in leadership with industry have resulted in not following through on that, or not full recognition of what those discussions were. So this time we'll have a sound discussion about the expectation. I think we already have had that. We've talked with the bridges. I think we're good to go and ready to come back next time. And if there is a need for adjustment, we'll be in the same boat.
I think, again, the bottom line is some better raw data going in the front end.
Right.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Marsh.
Good morning.
I'm curious about the last statement of your testimony. Given what you've said about the difficulty of assessing the accuracy of this information, why is it you say we can conclude that there is no significant discrepancy between the flat fee amounts and the equivalent mileage tax rate?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, I say that because there's no data available now to indicate an ongoing difference. We're concerned about right now a range of reported values, and I think Steve Bridges, when he comes up, will probably discuss under his discussion the fact that it could be a broad range of potential coming out of the current reports. And We're very concerned about the legislature taking an action that says we know of there being a particular discrepancy when we have anecdotal information as well as some statistical information that shows a wide range of the potentials of how often they're driving full, and that actually have the logs on a log truck, for instance, as well as other pieces of information that clearly indicate that we don't have data to say that there's a significant discrepancy right now. And that's why we make the comment at the end of this, in terms of conclusions at this point, we don't have an ability to conclude that there is a significant discrepancy and that we need to get that longitudinal data over a longer period.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. So what you're saying then is that because there's no evidence of a discrepancy, that we should conclude that there's not one, or simply that we don't know?
Mr. Chair, as of right now, I think it's as much we don't know as it is the discrepancy not existing. It's difficult with the information that we have right now to say accurately that there absolutely is no discrepancy any place in the process. The problem is that we don't have data coming into the process that says here's really what the truck driver did. And without that, I think it's appropriate to say we don't have the information with which to make a decision. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that it sounds to me like it's the difference between being able to conclude that there is no significant discrepancy or not being able to conclude that there is a significant discrepancy. Either way, we don't have the figures before us to make the adjustments to try and meet that goal, because we don't know what the goal is.
And maybe I should follow up. I think some of the members know that I'm sort of a numbers guy and as much focused on analysis than anybody else, and it's frustrating to go through this kind of process, but I think the reality is, given where we are right now in this process, this is the best outcome, and we need to come back next time with the results that can allow for information for legislative decision making.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marsh, is this process or this procedure like other states? Are we unique, or is this a similar?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, we're unique really in that we have a, and I don't want to get the discussion into weight mile tax too much, but I'll answer part of this question, which is because we have a weight mile tax and a significant reliance on a weight mile tax, we offer a flat fee alternative that says for log trucks, chip trucks, and sand and gravel trucks, they have an alternative to paying weight mile tax, and they have to keep fewer forms because of that. If we had no weight mile tax, I don't want to speak for industry here, but I don't see there'd be a real use for having a flat fee tax. If we're relying on totally diesel or something else, they would pay that through the regular diesel tax process.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. My question was, do other states have the same procedure?
Mr. Chair, they're only, and I look back to Greg Del Ponte, I think there are about four or five other states that have a weight mile. No other flat
so
fee.
So we are unique in this.
We are unique on the flat fee portion, yes.
Mr. Chair, in 1969, when the dump truckers were given the flat fee option, and later in 83, were you able to follow that to see the reduction of fees when they changed to flat fee? Now, I'm assuming when you say option, that all dump truckers opt for the option. Are we opters?
The vast majority do.
I'm
sure the vast majority do. Maybe there are a few that don't.
So were you able to track the difference in the fees based compared to
I don't believe we have information about those particular folks in that time period. The reality would be that their weight mile tax payments would have gone down when they had the option available. So the total amount of weight mile tax would be something we could check back if the representative of the committee really wanted to see that. But I don't know that just looking at the total amount and then comparing flat fee to it is going to tell you what you need.
Well, Mr. Chair, what I was looking for, back to what Representative Shirley said, I was looking for trends to see, you know, how you tracked them, you know, post and prior.
Well, certainly we would have some data that goes back in history. The difficulty is this issue of reporting and developing the reports on the part of the trucker. If the truckers are not submitting information because they're either confused by the difference between total miles and their off-road miles or other information, then any data that's historical in nature doesn't really help much for making the longitudinal information. What we want to try to do is have the best information possible from them that we can then survey and confirm, and then come back saying, here's what they've actually done, even if it shows a need to adjust or not adjust.
I find it peculiar that we're holding this discussion without the study in front of us. Why do we not have the study?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to provide copies of the study. It's something that's been submitted earlier in the highway cost allocation study process, and it's part of the highway cost allocation study for the members that are part of the Transportation Committee. But I can be happy to bring that forward.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Are we under a legislative mandate to make a finding of some sort?
Mr. Chair and Representative Merkley, the flat fee study comes forward, and just as the highway cost allocation study comes forward, inaction on the part of the legislature can be appropriate, but the fact is that the data comes to you, and lack of action means you're recommending not adjusting.
What does the statute actually ask of the legislature? Does it say the legislature will review this information and make a finding, or what are we actually obliged to do?
The statutory, Mr. Chair and Representative Merkley, the statutory reference refers to ODOT presenting the study to the legislature.
Okay.
It does not say that the legislature has to act.
Just to follow up on that, Representative Merkley, when we had the highway cost allocation study review in our committee, one of the questions that I remember asking is, constitutionally, according to Measure 76, are we required to do any adjustments? And the answer was no. We were within the margin. Representative Bergeron's question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. Good morning.
It feels like evening. I'm
getting a little confused on time.
I understand.
One of the weaknesses in the methodology, according to you, one of the major weaknesses is the reporting. And I would call your attention to the first sentence under summary, where you said that you are going to continue to work to improve the reports and surveys of motor carriers. I wonder if you might be more specific in that area.
Sure, Mr. Chair and Representative Verger. Two things. In the past, we had talked with industry about whether the forms met the need or not, and at one point it seemed like it did, but there was some commitment on the part of industry to educate and get information out about what was needed in those forms. What we need to do is work with industry now and make sure that any issues that they've worked out with their folks about the complexity of the form, if there's something that's difficult to figure out, to make sure that we're clear on that. It has been done before, but we're hearing additional concerns now, so we want to make sure that's addressed. So that's one piece, is what the information coming in. One of the challenges, of course, with the flat fee concept is that there isn't a lot of incentive for the trucker to spend a lot of time on the form, because there isn't an indication in the form of, or isn't an opportunity to have an impact on their payment. The only impact or potential impact is that if they record fewer on-road miles, then maybe in the future there might be a reduction in flat fee. But it's difficult, and so the hard process is to make sure we're communicating what the form is, to make sure that they are getting information in as best they can, and we're working with them on that. The second piece is, after the form comes in, to make sure that the way we get back out to them and survey and have confirmed whether they were right or wrong on what they did on their form, and whether this is actually the situation, that we do that in a little broader way. The challenge for us in the past has been flat fees are not a large revenue source, and there's been an emphasis on trying to do sort of the minimal amount to get the job done without spending a lot of money on going through the evaluation of this process. And in the future, I think what we have to do is work a little closer with industry to make sure we're connecting on that survey process, and hopefully not so much so that we're increasing our administrative costs, which the Transportation Committee is making sure that we're reducing, and at the same time dealing with ways and means about those administrative costs, but that we want to make sure we're doing a survey process that industry would say, even though it may be somewhat short, that it is addressing what they are concerned about, and are making sure we're getting the best possible data that we can. So it's two parts. One is the form and education around the form and the needs from industry. The second is the survey process about how we go out with industry with their help on getting information in so we can make the report to the legislature.
Thank you.
Answer your questions.
Mr. Chair. Yeah, Representative Bates.
Representative Verger actually asked the question I wanted to ask, but I want to follow up if I could, Mr. Chair. How do you monitor off-road versus on-road use other than the form?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bates, that's it. We have a form that reports the off-road and on-road use, and that's the estimate made on the part of the trucker. And if they designate that they want to go a flat fee option, that becomes the only request we have for paperwork. There is an administrative rule that talks about logbooks and requirements for record keeping, which we have not gone into audit. And the reason for that decision in the past has been there's no return on the investment of the audit time. There's no improvement in revenues coming into the department. In the future, we may have to wrestle with that idea of how much actual auditing we do in order to make sure we have accurate information on flat fees.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. And so in essence, it's self-reporting?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Marsh, when the flat fee was originated, did industry work with you and your group in, you know, coming up with this formula?
Mr. Chair.
Who ultimately signed it off?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, there have been different contacts over time. We've definitely worked with the industry over time. However, there have been a multitude of different survey approaches used between in the 80s and 90s. And approaches of trying to determine whether the emphasis should be on one element of forms and reporting or another. I think what we're trying to do for the next step is to make sure that the forms as clear as it can be, as I mentioned with Representative Verger, and that industry is concurring about the survey process and then some of the assumptions. And not to take too much time, but I mentioned one of the assumptions earlier, which is how much of the time a log truck is full and how much it's empty, so therefore how much time it's actually having a significant impact on the roadway and how much it isn't when it's running empty. Things such as that are important distinctions and are not really answered in the form process that we have now. We need to have data for that in order to have something other than anecdotal information that might say 40% loaded, 50% loaded, whatever the amount might be.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. And it's not, compared to others, it's not very much, but 5,000 pieces of rolling equipment in our company, you know, I never met a driver that loved paperwork and to this day. And so I'm still anxious to hear my answer to my question of who came up with the original flat fee.
Who came up with the original, Mr.
I mean,
Chair?
Was it an industry device, or was it mandated by us, or what happened?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, 1949 is actually my birthday, so I wasn't here then, but I think that in 49 it was brought forward as a way to deal with weight mile taxation and the fact that truckers who are doing off-road miles, for the most part, it would make for an easier process of dealing with paperwork and reports. So my guess would be in 1949 the industry expressed a concern and wanted to shoot for a flat fee alternative, but I don't know that for a fact.
Last follow-up, Mr. Chair. I understand, you know, because I was only 6 years old then, too. But we re... do I have to sit by him anymore? Great job. Okay. Ms. Marsh, you know, in 69 when we added the dump trucks and then in 83 we added the wood chip carriers, I mean, surely we asked ourselves then, I mean, is this flat fee formula still appropriate? And so beyond then, somebody made this decision. I'm just trying to find out how it happened. And so we either, if it was great, we repeat it. And if it wasn't, good Lord, let's don't do it that way again.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think the continuing public policy decision has been that due to the process of reporting weight mile tax, that it is an appropriate thing to allow for the alternative for flat fees. I think the decision point is as long as we can continue to work with industry and work to get the best possible incentive on the basis of flat fee option users to fill out the reports as accurately as possible, that will be an incentive to continue flat fees. If we weren't able to get anything that made that correlation that said we just can't get good information, then that may be a time to say that flat fees would not be appropriate, but we have every intent to work with the industry and try to get the process to work and to make sure we have the best data so that we can make that decision and show that it's approximately equal and move on.
Chair. I just wonder if you could ask that question better than I could.
I don't think they could, actually.
I just wonder who devised it. I'm just trying to find out. Was this a working partnership?
Well,
was this an auditor or a...
I'm sure it was a legislative body that...
You think it was a legislative committee?
Probably listened to constituencies that said that we travel, our rig travels significant percentage of our miles off the highway. We shouldn't have to pay a weight mile tax. We should pay some, we should devise some other kind of scheme to deal with our taxes. And they came up with the flat fee. I mean, it's a legislative body, ultimately, that had that discussion on the House and Senate floors. We got a governor to sign a bill that enacted those kind of programs. I wasn't here.
Interesting.
So that's kind of, you know, that's the give and take in the legislative process. You got constituencies that bring issues to us, and we deal with them.
Mr. Chair, maybe just to culminate that, I want to make sure I'm getting it where Representative Nelson's going. I think the it was an initial decision, I'm sure, with industry working with legislators. The ongoing decision is ours, and legislature and ODOTs and industries to make. At this point, we're suggesting continuing flat fees because we think it offers a good opportunity for those kinds of truckers, and that we'd recommend continuing it as a public policy decision. And that's where we are today, and next year come back and discuss it at that point.
And last follow-up, Mr. Chair, then, are there other groups of truckers who have asked to join this flat fee force?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, to my knowledge, we haven't had recent pushes. There is one area that was added, and they haven't made use of the opportunity. So we have the chip haulers, the log truck drivers, and the sand and gravel that are involved. We had one other that has the opportunity but has not made use of it. And I'm not aware of other requests lately.
And who would that be?
The ones that were added but haven't used it are the contract farmers.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
Thank you for your time.
And if you might just stay in the room, and just in case there's follow-up questions after we have D come up with his friend to testify.
Good morning. For the record, I am Dee Bridges, the Oregon Forest Products Transportation Association today. Association. With me today are three OFPTA members. Kathy Thomas is the office manager for Celeste Trucking of Independence. Celeste has a fleet of 31 log trucks. Kathy wrote the letter included with my written testimony. It's coming around now. Wilbur Vanderbeck owns Vanderbeck Logging of Markham. Wilbur has 5 log trucks. Barry Mamano here is from Rockaway. Barry owns and operates 1 log truck. OFPTA is an association of some 300 members in the business of hauling logs, lumber, chips, and other forest products. Many of our members, as you've heard, pay flat fees. Many of our members are mom-and-pop businesses, one truck, owner-operated. In fact, more than 80% of our members own 5 or fewer trucks. These people work very hard, and they are probably not real good at bookkeeping. They don't keep very accurate numbers regarding loaded versus unloaded miles or miles driven on private roads each day because there is no apparent incentive for them to do so, because they're going to pay a flat fee anyway. The methodology ODOT used to do their flat fee study this year simply took lines out of a computer and assumed that they were accurate. They weren't. Drivers just do not do a good job of record keeping when they don't need to in order to pay their taxes. In my written testimony, I have included a copy of an ODOT form that truckers use to pay flat fees. It's about the 4th page back, I think. I've shown 2 examples of how the report might be filled out. I think example A is how ODOT, when they did this report, thought truckers calculate their Oregon taxable miles. that would be the only way it would provide the right information for ODOT to do the flat fee study the way they did the most recent one. In reality, probably most log truckers fill the form out the way I've shown in example B. They enter the beginning and ending odometer readings, subtract one from the other, and enter it in column 7, total miles operated. Then they enter the same number in column 8, Oregon taxable miles. Or they leave column 8 blank, or they enter their total miles in column 8 and leave column 7 blank. I've examined 100 or so of these reports, and that was my observation as I did it.
So D, just a quick question on that, then the amount that they paid, $370 in your example, is the same regardless of how they filled out the paper?
It's going to be regardless. It's going to be $370, Mr. Chair, as if they filled it out in the way I showed in Form A, for example A, or as example B, or some other example. It's still going to be $370. So there isn't a lot of incentive for them to do what I suggested ODOT thought that they did in example A. This is not a real easy form to fill out accurately. It's not designed to help a trucker fill it out, and the instructions are silent with regard to loaded versus unloaded miles and private road and out-of-state miles. There's no mention whatsoever of either of those factors on that report. Columns 5 and 6 are beginning and ending odometer readings, and column 7 is easy. You just subtract beginning from ending miles. But for column 8, Oregon taxable miles, you must first figure out how many loaded miles you traveled that month and enter it for 80,000 pounds. That would be a typical log truck when it's loaded. And then enter the unloaded miles for 46,000 pounds. Then you would take each of those numbers, multiply them by a factor arrived at by determining the percentage of total miles you traveled on Oregon public highways versus private roads and out-of-state miles for that particular month, for that particular truck. Then you enter those numbers in column 8, Oregon taxable miles. And I think you begin to see the problem with assuming that these miles are reported accurately. ODOT's flat fee study assumes they are. Then it assumes that only 50% of the miles are unloaded, even though everyone in the logging truck business knows that you travel more unloaded miles than loaded in most cases. In fact, in some cases, many more miles unloaded than loaded. It is almost impossible to under-report Oregon taxable miles, but it is very, very, very easy to over-report Oregon taxable miles. If you just bring that total mile number over and put it into Oregon taxable miles, that's probably a gross overestimate of how many Oregon taxable miles you've driven that month. And further, if Oregon taxable miles were missing from the report, ODOT used total miles when doing the study. So they, in those cases, they just assumed that that column of called total taxable Oregon taxable miles was the correct amount. Combination of all of this resulted in a deeply flawed flat fee study that is so out of whack it ought to be discarded. I think ODOT should go back and do the study right. And you've heard Mike Marsh say that we intend to do this. We intend to work in partnership with them to try to design a form that will work. We just simply need to get rid of this information. That 27% number has been floating around there all session long, and it's just wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. Log trucks are not underpaying their taxes by 27%. We might even be overpaying. Nobody knows because the study wasn't done right. I've also enclosed a page from the 1999 and 2001 highway cost allocation studies. Note that in 99, these are the last two pages on my written testimony there. Note that in 1999, the recommendation was to increase flat fees for log trucks from $5.55 to $6.47. That's an annual fee per 100 pounds, and it converts to $370 a month for an 80,000-pound truck. That would be an increase of 16%. That was what was recommended in 1999. No increase was implemented last year because House Bill 2082 was passed, which would have eliminated weight mile taxes and also flat fees. That bill was referred, as you know, to the voters as Ballot Measure 82 and was defeated. In 2001, the recommendation was to increase the fee from that original $5.55 to $7.05, an increase of 27%. Yet, in September of 2000, there was a decrease in weight mile tax of 12.3%. That begs this question. When weight mile taxes, which flat fees are compared to in these studies, decreased by 12.3%, and the previous study showed the underpayment of flat fees to be only 16%, how can the following study show us underpaying them by 27%? Follow that arithmetic. The answer, I believe, points to the gross inaccuracy of these studies, and that is further illustrated when one looks at what happens to the proposed rates for wood chip trucks. In 1999, the recommendation was for them to increase from 2240 to 3423, an increase of 53%. Again, no increase was adopted because of HB 2082. But now in 2001, the recommendation is to decrease them from 2240 to 1996, a decrease of 11%. So add those two numbers together, and there's a 54% difference between the 2 years. I suggest that ODOT revise the flat fee reporting form, and I have talked to Mike Marsh about this, and we all agree on this, and the accompanying instruction sheet so that truckers know how to report accurately, bearing in mind that simplicity is the watchword here. That's why we have flat fees in the first place. Then after a year reporting on these new forms, I believe an accurate flat fee study can be done. However, to ensure accuracy, that study must always include surveys and interviews with the people actually filling out the forms. I do not think our industry should have a problem with the next legislative session adjusting flat fees either up or down if that adjustment is based on an accurate study. And with that, I would ask if everyone wants to go first. Kathy, go first.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Thomas, and I'm the office manager for Celeste Trucking Company in Independence. We have 31 log trucks. We haul primarily in Northwest Oregon for Boise Cascade Corporation. For the previous 8 years or so, we have elected to pay using the flat fee method, and the record keeping and payment process is so much simpler than weight mile calculation. That's why we opted to do it that way. However, when the weight mile rates were reduced in September of 2000, and flat fee rates were not, we decided to switch to the weight mile rates on a trial basis for 2001. So since January, we've been paying our taxes on a weight mile basis. But most of my experience is with flat fee reporting. Until recently, when completing the monthly flat fee report, we never differentiated between the Oregon taxable miles and the total miles column. We simply reported the same amount under the total miles as we did under Oregon taxable miles. We didn't realize that we were supposed to do anything differently than that until a couple of years ago. The importance of the placement and accuracy of the detailed data is easily devalued when you don't see any difference in the amount of tax that you pay. We discovered a few years ago that we should have been deducting private road miles from total miles to come up with Oregon taxable miles. This was not explained on the report itself or in the instruction sheet. I believe many in our industry do not fill these forms out accurately. For Celeste Trucking, the number is very significant. We travel a lot of miles on Boise Cascade's private road system. In calculating our weight mile tax this year, our fleet average was 28% on private road miles. Also, for log trucks, using a simplistic 50-50 loaded empty calculation would not be accurate. It would depend upon the location of the carrier and their proximity to the trees and the mill. In our experience, we have found that a 45-55 or 40-60 loaded empty breakdown is more realistic. And for those carriers who are not as centrally located as we are, the difference could be even greater than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Did one of you gentlemen?
Yes. Morning. My name is Barry Romano. I live in Rockaway, and I'm what they call an owner operator. I own one log truck and drive it myself. Been in business since 1975. I usually pay my taxes on flat fee method, even though in some years I actually pay more than I would have if I paid on weight mile. I do that because it's just a lot easier to fill out the flat fee form than it is the weight mile. And like probably most of us in the business, I guess I've been filling out the forms wrong all these years.
I know I have.
In the column for Oregon taxable miles, I've been deducting my Washington miles correctly, but I haven't been deducting for private roads. I do quite a bit of hauling for Willamette Industries, and while I'm doing that, I travel about 15% on their private roads. I've not been deducting any of those miles on my monthly report.
Also, I see where the state used 50-50 loaded miles in their calculations, and that is wrong. Like what Kathy says, where I do, I live on the coast. I travel a lot of empty miles or deadhead miles, and it's pretty hard to calculate, but I estimated that I average about 65% unloaded. So if the state used 50% in their estimate, they're way off in my case. Like most owner-operators, we use our truck as a pickup. We have to get to the job, and we have to get home from the mill, and that overrides your 50%. And speaking for myself and all the owner-operators, I'd like to say that we are very small operations, and it would like to be very difficult for us to have to do our reporting on a weight mile. After 13 or 14 hours on a job each day, we just don't have the time or energy to do a lot of complicated record keeping. And just like this week, I'm taking this week off my truck. You're still getting paid for a full month's pay, and my truck is parked for a week. So it's just a lot easier for an independent to do it flat fee. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Wilbur Vanderbeck. I live in the big town of Markham. I own Vanderbeck Logging Company. We've been in business since 1968. We have five log trucks, and we use a pair of taxes on the flat fee method, mostly because it's a lot easier to fill out the month reports than it is to fill out a weight mile reports. Only a couple months ago, I learned that we've been filling out these forms wrong all these years. In the column for Oregon taxable miles, we've been deducting our washer miles correctly, but we didn't realize we should deduct also for the private road miles. During any year, my trucks will have a lot of different routes going to different mills, so it's pretty hard to keep track of the private road miles for each of them. And I do know this, when we're hauling for Longview Fiber and going to Longview or Kalama, each load travels anywhere from 16 to 20 miles on Longview Fiber's private roads, depending on the landing site, and 70 or 80 miles on Washington highways. If we're going to Lyons or Mill City, we usually go across the Longview's tree farm on their private roads and come out just above Mahama on Wagner Road. That's about a 60-mile round trip on the private roads for each load. On that trip, then, we only travel by an extra 20 miles on public highways, so only one-third of those miles are taxable and half of them are empty. We've not been deducting any of those miles in our monthly reports. Also, I see where the state used a 50% loaded miles in their calculations. I feel that's wrong. My drivers live in several different parts of the county. A couple of them live pretty close to the haul road, so for them, only 51 or 52% of their miles might be unloaded. But some of my drivers live quite a few miles off the haul road, so maybe 55 or 60% of their miles would be unloaded. One of my trucks hauls for Willamette Industries and goes clear to, sometimes Lebanon, Dallas, Cresswell, or Sheridan, so when he goes home empty night, he'll have a lot of deadhead miles. Overall, I estimate that my trucks probably average only about 40% loaded. I'd like to say that we're a small operation, and it would be very difficult for us to have to do our reporting on a weight mile basis. These flat fees, simply a reporting method, saves us a lot of time and effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you, and I appreciate that y'all being here. When we would, from personal experience, when we have to cost out our logging truck, you know, for a job, we, you know, followed the trend. Now, this is my concern. If y'all have done likewise, and I hear you're 40-60, so, and I can identify with that one very well. But I'm wondering is, since you have probably overpaid, I looked on this form. I don't see you can amend the weight, but can't you amend your submissions and get a rebate for being overcharged? But there's nothing that says you can't. I'm just wondering.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I don't believe there's any way of getting a rebate. The tax is based on a flat fee per month, and if you operate one load in that month, you owe $370.
Follow up, Mr. Chair, but if if you've not taken out your, the private road mileage and so forth, why can't you amend these and resubmit them? I don't see anything restricting you.
Mr. Chair.
Trying to get your hard-earned money back.
Well, basically, flat fee, regardless of the number.
So regardless, it
doesn't matter how much.
Will not have any impact whatsoever.
Doesn't matter how much you drive, you pay a flat fee.
Does not matter. It doesn't matter if you have layup of your truck, because you're not using them during the, you know, 3 months of the year, usually, because you're working on them 1 month, getting them maintained. I know this story, and so there's, so maybe that's something we need to consider. I mean, a layup month.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, you're exactly right, and the, and Barry said, you're going to pay the $370 regardless of how many miles you operated, or if you operated one load even. The problem with not keeping these accurate records is that when ODOT does their flat fee study, they don't have this information
right.
to make the study accurately. That's why we're committed, and I've talked to Mike Marsh on this and to others in ODOT. We're committed to sit down with them after the session and try to help design a form that will help these guys capture this information, but yet in a simplified way, but at least better information for than we now have for ODOT to make an accurate study.
Just thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just appreciate the last exchange there. I think the issue here is not so much whether they're paying too much or overpaying. You're right, it's a flat fee. I think the question is, based on the information in the reports, is ODOT getting the right information in order to evaluate the contribution that flat fee payers are making vis-a-vis weight mile payers? And that seems to me where we need to make sure we have the accurate information so that the next legislative session can make a more informed determination as to this responsibility or the equity between flat fee and weight milers. And I think this hearing has been helpful to highlight what some of those issues are on the ground, and been pleased that Mr. Marsh has sat through and listened to us beat up on the report so that, I'm being facetious there, but so that they can come in working with the flat fee payers perhaps and clean up the survey process to get some better information. So the next session, anyway, we can look at it both longitudinally and with maybe some more accurate information, particularly for the next two-year period, and really then make an evaluation that's got some, that's supported by some hard numbers.
If I may, Mr. Chair, and Representative Shepard, we tried not to beat up on ODOT here. The report,
I know
we beat up on the report. The report is inaccurate. Whose fault is that? It's partially ours. We, you know, frankly, we didn't do a good job of keeping records. We didn't do a good job of keeping records because of this lack of this education process that Mike talked about when he was up here. There, frankly, wasn't a good education process that was out there. Well, there are 657 flat fee payers, I believe, for log truckers, the last number that I looked. And I'd hazard a guess that 90% of them don't do the form right, don't keep the records right. So there is a huge educational process that is necessary. The first part of that, however, is the design and an instruction sheet that tells you how to do it.
Great. Thank you very much. I think we got done this morning what we needed to, and I think Representative Shedley's closing comments are, I think, encapsulated in a nutshell. So with that, we will close this informational meeting and close the committee.
What my point was is just like what happened to Blockbuster today.